Evening to everyone. Glad to be here. We've not been here in a regular service in quite a while. I didn't look back and see how long it had been, but it's been a good while. I know you have good ministers here. You have a fine pastor. But once in a while, I feel like the Lord let me come by again and give you a little bit from the Lord. So here am I. We desire your prayers. The Lord will help us out. We went home after Guthrie and got sick. I've only preached two times since the end of the meeting. As I've gotten a little bit older, seems like the Lord has been doing things I wasn't expecting him to do. And that is, he's given me some breaks and slowed me down some. I said, well, Lord, whatever you want to do with my old life, that's up to you. So I'm not as active as I used to be. Slowed down some. All right, again, we desire prayers. I believe when I walked in, there was two words on the board, the victory. Well, I want to talk about the one that gives the victory. And I want to talk about the one that the devil fights so hard because he knows that he can give you the victory. Let's open up in Deuteronomy 7 and 9. 7 and 9 of Deuteronomy. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. Now, I've had this little burden for a while. I'm about ready to have somebody else come up here and write my stuff because my handwriting's getting so bad anymore, it's pitiful. The faithful God. Is God faithful to you tonight? Has he been faithful to you all through your life? Is he faithful to answer prayer and to bless you, lead you, guide you, and direct you? Yes, he is. He's been a faithful God. And do you know the devil wants to fight that with everything he's got? Because the devil knows that there's a faithful God out there that'll take people, save people, sanctify people, and keep people, and help them all through their journey if they'll just give themselves to God. And the devil doesn't like that. He told Molly Ann for many years that God doesn't love you. And Molly listened to that. Finally, the Lord began to work and began to open up and convict and show her. And she decided there was somebody that did love her. And his name was Jesus Christ the righteous and the Father, God the Father. And she began to look and began to reach out. And she made a phone call and some of us met at the chapel. And she got saved there just about 1999, about the end of 99. And so we thank the Lord. But tonight, the devil does not want you to believe God is faithful. He doesn't want you to believe that he is one that will help you. He said he is God. He is God. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God. He is God. He's a king. He's everything. And today, faithful means strict in the performance of duty, unswervingly devoted, loyal to one's promises, and trustworthy. And, all right, let's go to another scripture over here, a couple of places here to get started. Malachi 3 and 6. Malachi 3 and 6 reads something like this. I am the Lord and I change not. I'm thankful today that God never changes. He said, I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. I am the Lord. I have been in awe of God more of the last, I don't know, number of months seemed like, than I have been maybe any time in my life. And to look down and think about what God has done for me and for others, And the bottom line is he has been so good to his people. And the fact that he wants to help us, bless us, and I know he loves us, I know we're his children, I know we're married to him, I know all that. That's not the problem. But the bottom line is I've been standing back in the awe of the very God of heaven coming down and blessing you individually, on the job, in the home, in the plane, in the car, in the train, wherever you might be on the job, him coming down and spending time with you and I and blessing us and helping us, feeding us, challenging us, stirring us, lifting us up, encouraging us, healing us, doing all these things. And then he comes down in meeting. Now, I don't care how many preachers are here. I don't care how many saints are here. The main one to be here is God. And you remember what happened that one night during Guthrie? And that ain't the only time it's happened here. There've been a number of times that he had lowered his presence so richly that the very service was absolutely wonderful. Even greater than that. And there was several years ago, and I don't remember what year it was, but there was a message preached. And on one night, and then the next night, a brother got up back here and he started talking about that message. And about that time, the Lord lowered his presence. And it was so rich and so real. And we were sitting there. And the wife told me, said, Carl, even the babies didn't cry. Nobody left the sanctuary. Very few, if any. They wasn't going in and out. People were popping up. They were testifying. We had no preaching that night. It was just the fact that God was here in his presence. He is God. Praise God. He is God. He's a faithful God. He is the everlasting God. He's God for you and I tonight. And the devil don't like that, folks. And he's going to tell you he won't help you. But I got news for you. In my years of living for God, he's helped me over and over. And I ain't here because I'm Carl Schaefer. I'm here because of him. He's the one that's got me here. He's the one that's kept me and blessed me. He's the one that's leaded and guided and directed. It's been God every step of the way. It's not been Carl Schaefer. Oh, tonight, he said over here in the third chapter of Lamentations, 23rd verse, he said, it is a 22nd verse, it is of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed, because his compassion fail not. They're new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Now, the word great means unusually or comparatively large in size or dimensions. Unusual or considerable in degree, beyond what is ordinary. Listen, folks, God is great. He is beyond. Listen, he holds the world in his hand. Brother Bob Forbes one time had a vision, and there's a big board and had all kind of switches and knobs on it, and said there was two hands that was pure white. And he said that those two hands were running all these deals and moving. And God spoke to him. He said, I run the whole world. That's God. A great God. A great God that's a faithful God. And you and I want to remember always that no matter who we are, he loves to take care of his children, his mate. Well, the one, I'm going to get into that later. But the bottom line is God loves his people. He's a great God. He's a faithful God. Oh, tonight, Lord, great is thy faithfulness. All right, let's go a little further. Let's go to 119 of Psalms. 119 of Psalms. And about the 89th verse. 119 and 89 of Psalms. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Thou hast established the earth, and it abideth. They continue this day according to thine ordinances, for all are thy servants. Now then, if you want to really check out, if you want to use that word, God and his faithfulness, look at everything that's here. He created the world. He created all the trees. He created everything, all the animals. He created you and I. He created everything. And who's still here? Is there still trees here? Is there still oceans here? Is there still bodies of water here? Is there still mountains here? Listen, he's a great, faithful God. He created all that. He set it into motion. He put it in a way that it was not going to do anything but what he commanded it to do, so to speak. And it's solid. You can count on it. Listen, folks, look at that and then look at God. Look at what he has done down through the years. Go back in the Bible and look what is written in the Old Testament. What he done, the victories he got, the things that he done with mankind way back then. And then he put it all and then he brought Christ over and he started the new era. Oh, today, thy faithfulness is to all generations. That's you and I tonight. Everyone in here has got a faithful God to take care of you. A faithful God that loves you. Somebody that is one that you're always going to be in his eyesight. A faithful God. Now then, all generations, and that's going to take us all the way to the end. Now, I don't know if the end of time will be in my time. It could be. This world is going downhill awful fast. But the bottom line is, God is great, and he's faithful. And he's faithful to all of us. All right, let's go to Isaiah 25:1. Oh, Lord, thou art my God. I will exalt thee. I will praise thy name, for thou hast done wonderful things. Thy counsels of old are faithfulness and truth. Thy counsels of old. Everything about God is set and anchored in eternity. And it's all there. It said, thy counsels of old. You take this Old Testament, you read that, and it points to what? Christ. It points to the new dispensation. The New Testament dispensation. You know, said that way. And it points to that. And if you then look at all that's in that, and then you look at how the Lord has worked down through the years, it's settled, it's solid, it's established, and it's something that you and I can count on. The truth. The truth was in obscurity at times, but God brought it right back out. When he was ready in 1880, 1881, what did he do? He began to work. Listen, God can work with anybody at any time. He can take them and begin to talk to them and visit with them. Listen, folks, the very fact that he talks to us in the night, during the day, like I said, wherever, and takes his time to lead, to guide, and direct us. His faithfulness. And he took that truth and he began to bring it back. And it began to open up. And there have been mighty, mighty workings of the Spirit of God in different times down through since 1880, 81. And it is many people have gotten saved. They've gotten sanctified. They've been healed. They've been blessed. They've gone on to heaven. One man told me that he went to a meeting back up in the far east. No, it'll be the far west side of Tennessee, I believe it was. And these people were holiness people. I don't know any of them that I know of. But he told me, he said there was a man there that was preaching. An old man, he said. Or pretty old. Yeah, I don't know how old he was, but he's pretty old. And he said that man had literally, totally lost his whole mind. Alzheimer's had come through and taken his mind totally away from him. And he said, you would never know it. He was up there in that pulpit and he's preaching like everything had been fine all of his life. But the bottom line, the faithful God brought his mind back and gave him everything he had before. And he was out there and he was telling what God had done for him. Oh, today, that's a faithful God, isn't it? A faithful God. All right, let's go to 2 Timothy 2:13. 2 Timothy 2:13. The faithful God tonight. Oh, I love my Jesus. I'm thankful for that one that died for me. I'm thankful for the visions he's given me down through the years. All right, 2 Timothy 2:12 said, if we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. Now, the bottom line is, Christ is going to be faithful to the Word of God. And the Word of God is not only just salvation and sanctification. It's not only just glories and blessings, but it is also anger and wrath. It is also judgment. And God looks at that, and when people turn God down, and they go and they do what they do, they leave him out, they forget him, they don't want to have anything to do with him. And God is not going to allow that kind of person to just come right in because they walked over everything that he's done to get them there, and they've locked his hands, and he couldn't do what he wanted to do. So he's going to not only be a faithful God to his word for you and I, but he's also going to be faithful to the word that if they don't do what his call is to them, if they don't respond. I talked to some people in a certain spot back in the fall, and I told maybe one or two, I told more than one. I said, the bottom line is, you got to respond. I said, he can call, but if you don't respond, and God has dealt with some of these people. I know he has, because they told me, I'm doing everything I can do. I'm working with a pastor. I'm doing everything I can do to get these people saved, except just drag them to the altar, so to speak, praying for them and talking to them and begging them to do something. And some of them's way older than I am, up in their 80s. 83, 84, 82, somewhere along in there. And their time is short. And some of them, since I've talked to them, has had some illnesses and sicknesses that I cringe at. And they were calling me or texting me. Some of the family went, pray, Brother Carl, so-and-so's in the hospital with COVID. Or so-and-so's in a hospital with lung problems or whatever it might be. Oh, Lord, help us. But those people, listen, folks, people doesn't seem to really realize that for a person to turn down the blood, turn down the life, turn down the grace and everything that Christ has done for you and I, turn that down, they don't seem to realize how much of that rejection is going to get them into a devil's hell. Had an uncle. I never knew this uncle, but I've heard about him. His wife was about as close to an angel, I guess, as you could get, what I've been told. She was wonderful. I never met either the husband or the wife. She was a saint. He was a good moral man, but he never got saved that we ever knew of. And he would stand there at Merlin, he'd look down at the chapel, he'd point down there, and he'd say, I'm just as good as those people right down there. And one day, I got to thinking about Uncle Andrew. And I thought, the bottom line is, the last sin that he committed was the rejection of the blood and the love of Jesus Christ. And when you do that, that's an automatic hell right there. He get out there. He may think he's just as good, but the bottom line was the saints had accepted. The saints had prayed. They'd confessed. They'd done everything that they needed to do to have the life that Christ wanted them to have. And he had rejected all of that. I tell you what, you reject Christ, that's the one that gets you to heaven. That's the one that redeems you. That's the one that gives his blood. That's the one that done everything that he needed to do to make a way for you and I to be saved. And I'm going to tell you what, he does not take it lightly that we reject that. And I thought, that's what he done. He rejected Jesus. That was his last sin right there. Oh, Lord, have mercy. All right, now then, let's get to a part that I'm enjoying this right here. Let's go to Hosea. Hosea, the second chapter, the 18th verse. We're going to read just a little bit here. Down to the end of the chapter, we'll start about 18, 2 and 18 of Hosea. And in that day will I make a covenant for them, with the beasts of the field, with the fowls of heaven, with the creeping things of the ground. And I'll break the bow and the sword and the battle out of the earth, and I'll make them to lie down safely. And I'll betroth thee unto me forever. Yea, I will betroth thee unto me in righteousness and in judgment and in loving kindness and in mercies. I will even betroth thee unto me in faithfulness, and thou shalt know the Lord. And it shall come to pass in that day I will hear, saith the Lord. I will hear the heavens, and they shall hear the earth. And the earth shall hear the corn and the wine and the oil, and they shall hear Jezreel. And I will sow her unto me in the earth, and I'll have mercy upon her that had not obtained mercy. And I will say to them that were not my people, thou art my people. And they shall say, thou art my God. Now, along with my thoughts about the awesomeness of God and how he blesses us, is the other angle of it, that we can be married to him. Now, there is, I would say, some ladies out there that have seen some men, and maybe they were tall and dashing, and they knew they had money and power and authority, and they looked at them and they thought, boy, it'd be nice to be married to them. And maybe the guy saw the gal, maybe he started moving her direction also. And after a while, they started dating, texting, calling. And then the love got deep. He decided she was for him and he was for her. And she got the prince. And he got the princess that he wanted. And everything was beautiful. I'm going to tell you what. Jesus Christ comes knocking. He comes setting his hat for you and I. Jesus Christ wants to marry people. He wants them to be betrothed. And he wants them to be his bride. He wants them to be married to him, praise God. He made a price. And I've been thinking the very fact, he not only an awesome God, he not only does all these things to us, but the bottom line, you and I can be married to him. We can be his spouse. We can be one that has the very unction and the workings of the Spirit of God behind us because of who we are. We're connected. We're married. Amen. We're married to God, to Christ. And he said here, he said, I will even betroth thee unto me in faithfulness, and thou shalt know the Lord. But I want the one above it there. And I'll betroth thee unto me forever. Yea, I'll betroth thee unto me in righteousness and in judgment, in loving kindness and in mercies. Listen, folks, the old Jews, they hurt God over and over. They disappointed him. And right here in this book right here, Molly and I is reading this in our nightly worship right now. God done all kinds of things with the Jews because they wouldn't do what they needed to do. They didn't have the power. Jesus now, he said, Father, I'm going to go. When they started setting this plan up to put it into action, he said, I will go. I will do what needs to be done to bring about a plan, to bring about a life whereby people can have power. They can have me as their Savior. They can have me as their husband, so to speak. And I will work with them and help them and bless them. Listen, a good husband is to protect his wife. A good husband is to help his wife. A good husband is to do things and go places and so forth. If something's too heavy, he lifts it. He takes care of it. Listen, folks, Jesus does that for you and I. He takes care of his children. When the load is too heavy, he helps us with that load. When the hard times come, he's right there to be with us. Listen today, God wants to be married. He's a faithful companion. There's not anybody that's as faithful as he is. Nobody. There have been a lot of good husbands out there. But there's also a lot of women that's cried a lot of tears because them husbands done things they shouldn't be doing with another woman. Oh, tonight, Jesus don't do those kind of things. That's the reason I can preach like I can preach, for the fact I've known him for a long time now. And he has never done me wrong in any way, shape, form, or fashion. He's always been good to me. Always been a blessing to me. Always helped me. My brother-in-law Joe, when we were caring for him in South Carolina before we took him to Florida, I told the sisters, I said, I will help you at night. This old preacher's up and down at night all the time anyway. I said, I'll help you at night. I'd have done it anyway. But anyway, I went down there to help him one night, and he looked up to me and he said, Carl. I said, yes, Joe. He said, why doesn't God answer prayer? I said, he does. Why? He said, because I've been laying here begging him to take me home for the last good while, and he won't answer prayer. I said, Joe, he'll take you home when he's ready to take you home. I know you want to die. I know you want to go on out and be with mama and the family. I know that. But the bottom line is, it's not your time to go yet. Okay. We knelt. I'd done what he needed me to do. And I knelt down there with him and we had prayer. God was faithful. Joe had cancer in 6 or 7 places in his body. Bone cancer. He had it in both lungs. He had it in both kidneys. He had it in his back in here somewhere. He had it in this arm and this bone here. He had it in his brain between the, well, he didn't have it in his brain. He had it between the brain and the skull. But do you know God was faithful to him? God helped him. He had some pain. He did. But I understand bone cancer is extremely painful. That's what I've been told. And he didn't have the pain I was expecting him to have. And I think it's because of God. He felt like he was ready to go. He loved the Lord. And he told me he had company coming over that I was a little amazed at, I guess. I mean, they just kept coming. They kept bringing food and all their desserts and all these different things. And I said something, Joe. I said, people love you. He said, you know why, Carl? He said, I've always treated them like I want to be treated. The golden rule. That was my text, so to speak, in my little message to the congregation. Do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. That right there would take care of every problem we got in the United States. The golden rule. But people don't want to do that. But Christ wants you to do that because he does that. He takes care of his people. He doesn't just treat them any old way. He doesn't treat them wrong. He treats them right. He does them, so to speak, like he would want us to treat him. Let us help us, Lord, to treat you the best way we can, praise God. Oh, tonight. Betroth thee. Oh, tonight, thank the Lord. I've been able to be married to Jesus Christ for over 51 years. And Mama brought me to this camp meeting in 1971 because she was told by Brother and Sister Pruitt that they had some very fine young ladies here that were marriageable. And she wanted her son to have a wife. Well, that's all. That's just a good parent. That's what happened. But listen, folks, I found somebody else to be married to first. And that started in 1971, and I didn't marry then to my darling till 1983. So consequently, I found him first, and I found him to be a very wonderful companion. He'd done all kinds of things for this old fella. Little things, big things. Listen, he is faithful to deal with our souls, lost and saved. He is faithful to lead us to the infilling of the Holy Spirit. He is faithful to lead us to the knowledge of the truth. He is faithful to call us to the work he wants us to do. He is faithful to lead us in the calling he gives us. He is faithful to stop us if we're about to make a mistake in a leading. He is faithful to answer prayers. Is that true? He answered prayer today. You're here. He is faithful to encourage you and I. He is faithful to lead our lives in every way. He is faithful to give us wisdom, discernment, understanding, and problems. He is faithful to teach us divine healing and to heal us. He is faithful. There's nobody more faithful than the Father and the Son. Oh, they're faithful tonight. Thank the Lord for that faithfulness. All right, let's go to 2 Thessalonians 3:3. 2 Thessalonians 3:3. But the Lord is faithful who shall establish you and keep you from evil. Now, one thing God wants to do and Christ wants to do, he wants to establish his people. And sometimes we wonder why we're having to go through what we're having to go through. Because he wants to settle us and establish us. You can't just be really established with just a perfect life all the time. You've got to go through some hard places. Back when I was in the service station, I was praying for God to give me more faith. And so one night a couple come in with a car. And the radiator was hot, and some of you young ones don't even know this, but back years ago, well, I don't know if you do or not, because I don't know what the radiator hoses are much like anymore, But used to, they had just a flat, not flat, but they weren't the, what do you want to call them? They had the deals in them, the wires in them and so forth. They were just rubber. They were round. They were smooth. And you could take, and if you could crush that hose in your hand, you didn't have any pressure in the system. So I opened the hood and I looked everything over and I reached down and I crushed the hose. No pressure. I popped the cap and to my horror, water started coming out all over me. It burned my hand. Of course, I had a long sleeve shirt on that protected my arm somewhat, but I got burned pretty good. That was God helping me to have more faith in God. More faith in His healing. More faith in His power. People would look at it, why don't you do this? Why don't you do that? Well, I'm trusting God. Well, they didn't know anything about trusting God, and I probably didn't answer them right. But the bottom line is, the Lord was working with little old me. He was establishing me. He wants us firm, settled, and established in a way that He can use us in any way He wants to use us. Remember the wreck, in 1981? Sister Maxine? You know what Sister Maxine was praying for before that wreck? That the Lord would settle her, deepen her. And she said after she went through what she went through herself, not have anything to do with the loss of the daughter and the Colleen, Jan and Colleen, the bottom line, she said, I felt like my feet was in solid cement. God settling her, establishing her, and that set her for her ministry. Listen, folks, God has got a reason for doing what He does for us, and that is He has got a mindset down the road for you to be somebody that He can use and work with. And so consequently, He wants to establish. He wants to settle us. He's faithful to do that, see? All right, Hebrews 2 and 17. This is one of my favorite scriptures right here. Hebrews 2 and 17. Said, wherefore in all things it behooved Him to be made like unto His brethren, that He might be a merciful and faithful high priest, and things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that He Himself has suffered being tempted, He is able to succor them that are tempted. Now then, the only way you're going to know, no, I ain't saying this right. The only way you're going to understand things is to go through things. When God told me that grief is going to be part of your ministry from here on out, I did not want Him to cut off, how do I want to say this? He did help me. I'm not saying that. But I wanted to go through what He wanted me to go through where I'd understand what you suffer. And Sister Maxine told me of what Sister Eck had told her in connecting with Jan, that you need to heal from the inside out, and you need to let the Lord heal your heart. So she told me, she said, Carl, she said, I would pray, God send me fresh comfort, and said He would do it over and over, and He would work with her. You need to do that, Carl. Well, I listened to what she said. I thought about it, and I thought, no, I don't want to do that. I want to know what the pain is. When you tell me I'm suffering for this or I'm suffering that, I want to know how I can speak to you. I want to know how I can help you. I want to get in your bucket with you. And I want to say, here's what you do. Oh, today He did help me. He helped Sister Maxine. He helps everybody that's going through grief. The pain can be horrendous. It can be something that can almost swallow you up. But the bottom line is Jesus went through things too. And He done it for you and I, whereby He could understand every ache and pain. He could understand every trial and battle. And so He went through all these things while He was here. And 3.5 years, He accomplished more in His life and His ministry than any of us will ever accomplish. And He done it for you so He could be a faithful and a merciful high priest. A faithful Savior. It behooved Him to be made like unto His brethren that He might be a merciful and a faithful high priest in things pertaining to God. To make reconciliation for the sins of the people. so he could wash, so he could clean, so he could do all that. For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them. Do you know what that's saying? He is able to run and to the assist of those that cry out. In other words, if you're crying, Lord, have mercy and help me, he can be right there. I know what you're going through, child. I understand it. I'm a faithful God to you. I'm going to help you. Remember Brother Titus in you? Some of you don't even know him. But he come over here several years ago. And you remember Philip, he telling the story, Brother Philip, excuse me, telling the story about that they were going to execute him in a firing squad. And they put him out there with several others, if I remember right. And he stood there and he stood there and nothing happened. And finally he said, well, if you're going to do it, do it. And nothing happened. Well, let's get this over with. And still nothing happened. And they finally said, we can't do it. You know why? Because Jesus wouldn't let them do it. Listen, there'd be people kill you right now, but God is keeping you alive. He's protecting you. He's watching over you. God is faithful to his children. And if you and I get in a tight spot, he is able to run to the assist of us in a very quick manner and say, I'll take care of you, child. You don't have to worry about this. I will help you. All right, 1 Corinthians 10 and 13. One of the most, well, I don't know, I say it's most quoted in the Bible, but there is no temptation taking you but such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Do we believe that tonight? Do you believe that he is going to take care of you if we get into something? Paul got into what he did. And what did the Lord tell him? My grace is sufficient. I'll take care of you, Paul. I'm not going to just throw you out there and let you be consumed. I'm going to take care of you. We're going to have temptations. And there is no temptation taking you but such as common to man. Sometimes we think, well, nobody else is going through this but me. There are people way back down the line somewhere that served God that's been through things. Same thing that you've been through. And it's painful and it's hard. But he says here, now this is the faithful God. He said, but such is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able. Listen, when it looks like it's going to get too much, his grace is sufficient, his power is sufficient. Everything you need, God's got for you. He'll take care of you. He will come in and give you what you need to help you to go right on through and exit in the victory. I'm thankful tonight for a faithful God. But will, with the temptation, also make a way of escape, a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. He wants you to go to heaven worse than you do, and he died to get you there, and he doesn't want to get you halfway between in your saved life and then just drop you and allow something to swallow you up. You remember what the old general said? He wasn't saved too long when this happened, but Brother Salmon said that something happened and it hurt him pretty bad. And like I said, he wasn't saved too awful long at this point. I don't remember how long, if he ever said, but he said he found himself going down a little bit. And he said, all of a sudden, he said, the Lord reached down. And he said, just like a bag, he said, he got him in a bag, so to speak, and he lifted him up, and he held him about 3 foot off the floor till he said that I could get myself stabilized again, or however he said it. In other words, this is my child. I want us to get the fact tonight that he loved you so much that he would die for you so that he could take you to heaven, and he's going to do everything he can do to get you there. Everything. He doesn't want you to perish. He gives you. He loved you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God is love. That love is deeper than the songs say, than the sea. It is deep. It is broad. It's wide. It encompasses you. That love of God encompasses you to take care of you. A faithful God. How many of you ever been in the Smithsonian's in Washington? Anybody ever been in them? There's the Hope Diamond. The Hope Diamond is a very valuable, beautiful diamond. That diamond is in the corner of a room. And they have a safe right there, and it's sitting in that safe. You can see it good. It has a glass across the front, across all the way across, where you can't even get close to touching it. But if you was to take and bam, that glass, that diamond would fall through a automatic hole and drop down and be locked in another safe somewhere down below there. You couldn't even see it anymore. In other words, that's valuable. Listen, folks, we're valuable to God. We're valuable. Well, I ain't valuable. Yeah, you are too. I didn't know I was going to get into this, but we are in the sense that he died for us and he wants to take us to heaven so bad that he's going to do whatever he needs to do to get us there if we're willing to work with him. We may have pain. We may have hurts and so forth. But the bottom line is he wants to get you to heaven. Let us let him work with us. All right, let's go to Psalms 89. Psalms 89. Let's finish up here. There's some real good reading right here. 89 of Psalms, the first verse. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. For I have said, mercy shall be built up forever. Thy faithfulness shalt thou establish in the very heavens. I have made a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn unto David my servant. Thy seed will I establish forever. This is nothing but a prophecy of Christ right here. And built up thy throne to all generations. And the heavens shall praise thy wonders, O Lord, thy faithfulness also in the congregation of the saints. For who in the heaven can be compared unto the Lord? Who among the sons of the mighty can be likened unto the Lord? God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of his saints, and to be had in reverence in all them that are about him. O Lord God of hosts, who is a strong Lord like unto thee, or to thy faithfulness round about thee? Thou rulest the raging of the sea. When the waves thereof arise, thou stillest them. Now then, if you're a quiet person, I want to challenge you tonight. He says here, I will make known thy faithfulness to all generations. In other words, I'm going to tell it to my children. I'm going to tell it to my grandchildren, my great-grandchildren. I'm going to do all I can do to help people to know that there's a faithful God out there, that he loves them, that he died for them. I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. He said, mercy shall be built up forever. Thy faithfulness shall thou establish in the very heavens. But then it goes on down in here. And it said, the heavens shall praise thy wonders, O Lord, and thy faithfulness also in the congregation of the saints. For who in the heaven can be compared unto the Lord? And who among the sons of the mighty can be likened unto the Lord? Now, Lord, help us on Wednesday night. And I'm going to tell you, saints, something. When I was here in pastor, there is things that you told of what God had done for you and his faithfulness. And you might think, well, it passed off. I still remember those and still pull on them years later. How the watch wouldn't work. And she had to have the watch. This is Sister Brenda. She had to have the watch because she was making deliveries, I believe it was, or picking things up for Delmar, I guess it was. She had to have all this. And she said, Lord, I need this watch to work. I don't have time to take it to the jeweler. I need to help. And it started working. She said it worked all day long till she got the last thing picked up and she looked at her watch and it quit. What about the washing machine and the dryer? They needed the washing machine to work during the camp meeting or the assembly meeting. So they laid hands on them and they prayed for them and they started working. And they worked all the way through till the end of the camp meeting and then stopped. Somebody said, well, why didn't you pray that it'd just be work forever? Well, what about the well? There was one body that their well had quit working. And they prayed. I don't know if they laid hands on it or not, but they prayed over that well and it started working. Listen, folks, God, you and I need to tell of the faithfulness of God. We need to let people know what He has done for you. This is not just Brother Philip, Brother Marvin, Brother Doug, Sister Connie, or myself. This is you. You're a missionary in your own right. You're a worker in your own right. And the Lord wants you and I to tell. Every time we get a chance, He wants us to tell of the faithfulness of God. Now, I've been out of here, since 91, 2001, 11, 21, 30-something years, but I still remember those testimonies. That's a long time. And I think about them ever so often. I think about maybe I'm going through a battle, and I thought, well, Lord, You done that for them way back then. I need Your help now. Listen, folks, He's still answering prayer. He is still blessing souls. I sat down in my recliner, was sitting down in my recliner when one of my favorite verses in Psalms come to me. I'll lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord which made heaven and earth. My help. I was just about sat down when that hit me. My help. Yes. My help comes from Him. He can help me in this problem, whatever it was. I don't know that I really have any trials, particularly at that time. But He can help me. He can help you. And He wants you and I to tell of what the Lord has done. O Lord God of hosts, who is a strong Lord like unto Thee, are to Thy faithfulness around about Thee. His faithfulness surrounds Him. As all you have to do is look at the Word, look at the saints, and you will see the faithfulness of God. Hebrews, the 10th chapter, 23rd verse, two more scriptures, 10 and 23 of Hebrews. It said, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. He is faithful. Now, used to, man's word was in bond. You'd shake, talk to somebody, you're going to buy something, sell something, and you make a deal and shake hands, and that's it. Today, when you get signing 15 pages of papers to try to get a contract that will bind things, it ain't like it used to be. But folks, this is still the same yesterday, today, and forever. What He says is what He means. He is faithful. He's a faithful God. Last scripture, 1 Thessalonians 5 and 24. Faithful is He that calleth you, who also will do it. Lord, help us to have faith tonight in a faithful God, that knowing that when we ask, when we pray, when we plead, when we beg, when we cry, that He's going to help us, that He's going to work. I believe, and I could be wrong, but I believe because of, how do I say this? I've got enough experience, I've seen enough things in my lifetime that I would say my faith, praying for people and so forth, is stronger now than it's probably ever been. Sister Joyce Cunningham documented that she had cancer through her chest. Doctor said, you got it. She came to meeting. Brother Michael Smith was there in a revival meeting. And She was anointed and prayed for, and three of us prayed for her, and she felt a warm sensation go through her whole body. John said, well, you need to go back and have it checked. Well, John, it's taken care of. I want to know that you don't have any cancer. So she went. The doctors checked her all out. Doctor come in, looked at her and said, well, I don't quite understand what's happened, but there isn't anything in there. There's no traces of cancer, no whatever she called it, in there. It's gone. Sister Joyce looked at him and said, well, I can tell you the rest of the story. And she did. Oh, tonight, God is still taking care of his people. Do we believe that? Do we really believe tonight that he's faithful? He is. You got a problem? He knows all about it. He knows more how to fix it than anybody else. People say, well, I need to go to the doctor. Well, Jesus knew about it before you ever got it. He made you. He created you. He knows more and understands more about the body. And the bottom line is, doctors can help people, but God's the one that heals them. It's not doctors. There ain't no doctor can take a bone and just heal it like that. They can put it in a cast. They can do all they can do. But the bottom line, if it's healed, it's got to be God. God can heal anything. God can do anything. God is faithful in everything. I appreciate your time and interest tonight. Pray for me.